Canada's West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. Hip-hop has gone from a marginalized art form to a mainstream powerhouse across the globe, including Appalachia. We'll have that story and more coming up on this West Virginia Morning. Support for West Virginia Morning is proudly provided by Luke Frazier. In May, the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission granted the federal government more authority over planning electricity infrastructure. But Jack Walker reports one state agency is pushing back.
The Public Service Commission of West Virginia asked federal administrators in a filing Wednesday to re-examine its recent decision. The May ruling, called Order 1920, requires local and state agencies to coordinate energy planning with partners across their regions. Plus, it requires providers to consider alternative forms of energy like wind and solar power. The PSC alleged that these requirements undermine states' authority over infrastructure planning. PSC Chairman Charlotte Lane said state officials are worried it could also lead to higher costs, but didn't provide additional information. The federal ruling was described as final, but the public has a 30-day window to submit requests for a rehearing, a deadline which the PSC met. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Jack Walker in Shepherdstown.
An icon on Marshall University's campus may soon get national recognition. Eric Douglas has more.
The Marshall Memorial Fountain was created in memory of the 75 people who died in the 1970 Marshall plane crash. It was officially dedicated in 1972. It is now being considered for inclusion on the National Park Service's National Register of Historic Places. The West Virginia Archives and History Commission nominated the fountain during a meeting Thursday on Marshall's Huntington campus. The nomination now goes to the National Park Service for review. The fountain, designed by Henry Bertoia, is more than 13 feet high and weighs 6,500 pounds. The fountain received extensive repairs in 2008, including a new granite surface for the foundation, a copper catch tray, and a higher water spray like the original output when it was installed in 1972. Marshall's Old Main was placed on the registry in 1973. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Eric Douglas in Charleston.
The Mountain Valley Pipeline got federal approval earlier this week to begin service. That same day, a federal court upheld a jury verdict the company had appealed. Curtis Tate has more.
Mountain Valley Pipeline had sued Frank Coles and Elizabeth Terry of Bent Mountain, Virginia, for a 50-foot easement on their property for the project. A jury awarded the Terrys $523,000, but then U.S. District Judge Elizabeth Dillon cut it in half. Last month, a three-judge panel on the 4th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals reinstated the original jury award. On May 28th, Mountain Valley Pipeline appealed the decision and asked for the entire 4th Circuit to hear the appeal. On Tuesday, the court denied both requests, preserving the original award for the Terry siblings. Also Tuesday, the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission approved the Mountain Valley Pipeline to begin operating, though it isn't clear when gas will flow through the 303-mile pipeline in West Virginia and Virginia. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Curtis Tate in Charleston.
Over the last 50 years, hip-hop has gone from a marginalized art form to a mainstream powerhouse. It took up a major cities and swept the country, but took root in Appalachia, too. Folkways reporter Vanessa Pena explored hip-hop in West Virginia.
I'm in Eric Jordan's home studio in Morgantown, West Virginia. He's walking me through his process of making a beat.
And as you see, that's the signal right there. I'm capturing it, right?
The song All My Love in Vain by Sonny Boy Williamson II plays on his turntable. The turntable is connected to his computer and it captures audio from the record. Eric takes a snippet of the song.
I heard a little something. I don't know if I can freak it, but we'll see.
He creates a drum beat and layers it underneath the music.
I got my drum, so now I feel comfortable enough to go play around with the chops.
Eric is also known by his stage name, Monsta Lung. He's a familiar face in the West Virginia hip-hop scene.
Yeah, and that's basically it. Then, you know, the next 2 hours, I'm just messing around with that.
Hip-hop has been a big part of Eric's life, in part because of the influence of his father, Norman Jordan. Norman was a distinguished poet and artist.
One-eyed critics, It's got a subtitle, Black Writers Conference.
In the 60s and 70s, Norman was at the forefront of the Black arts movement in West Virginia and Ohio. He was part of this nationwide effort to foster pride in Black history, arts, and culture.
3:30 in the morning, with not a soul in sight, we sat 4 deep at a traffic light, talking about how dumb and brainwashed some of our brothers and sisters are, while we wait for a green light to tell us when to go.
The Black arts movement inspired a diverse body of poetry, theater, and visual arts. And in 1973, a new musical genre, hip-hop. This was the backdrop of Eric's childhood. As a kid, he and his siblings often performed alongside their father. These performances included dance, music, and Norman's poetry.
He didn't waste no time with me. I was his congo player at 9. We performed at Berklee College and Howard University. I was in all his productions. All me and my siblings and my mother were, you know, we were a family unit.
Inspired by his father's passion for poetry and performing arts, Eric started breakdancing in high school. He got gigs at mall fashion shows and local restaurants. Eric says he and his peers were pushing boundaries.
And, you know, at that time, people who were doing hip-hop, it wasn't trendy yet. This is, you know, early 80s, so we stuck out like sore thumbs. You know, you could see us coming a mile away.
After college, Eric fully immersed himself in the world of hip-hop, DJing, MCing, and making beats from Maryland to New York. In 1999, he returned home to West Virginia, where he started a record label with his brother. Their mission was to make hip-hop music for, by, and about West Virginians.
We made a conscious effort to make music that dealt with self-esteem and state pride. We just felt like, you know, that was something that wasn't here.
Eric formed a hip-hop group called the 304 Recons under his label. They performed all around West Virginia, collaborating with artists in Huntington, Charleston, and Morgantown. But it wasn't easy getting started.
It was rocky at the beginning because there was really no music, no hip-hop scene here at all. So we had to create one.
By the early 2000s, hip-hop had gained traction in big cities like New York, Atlanta, and Chicago. But in West Virginia, it hadn't built momentum yet. The 304 Recons had to get creative.
When we first started doing shows, we did raves, we did biker bars.
The 304 Recons were performing a genre of music rooted in Black culture to majority white audiences. And not everyone knew how to react.
A couple times I thought we were going to have to fight ourselves out of these places, but ended up winning over the crowd and winning over the differences in culture.
Through their efforts, Eric and his peers laid the groundwork for a new generation of hip-hop artists.
That was Vanessa Pena speaking with hip-hop artist Eric Jordan. To catch the rest of that story and more, listen to Inside Appalachia. Sunday mornings at 7 and Sunday evenings at 6 on West Virginia Public Broadcasting. This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. It's 7:52. Patchy fog this morning, becoming partly sunny today. Slight chance of afternoon rain and thunderstorms, highs in the 80s. Support for WVPB is provided by the West Virginia Renaissance Festival, starting June 8th, presenting 4 weekends of live jousting, feasting, shopping, entertainment on 7 stages. For more information, WVRENFEST.com. And by the Couples Counseling Center, meeting the therapy needs of West Virginia couples at every stage of relationships. Learn more at couplescounselingcenter.online. On this week's premiere broadcast of Mountain Stage, host Kathy Matea welcomes Southern Avenue, Driftwood, L.V. Shane, Melissa Farrick, and Jeff Plankenhorn. Our song of the week comes to us from the energetic blues and soul band Southern Avenue. This Memphis-based Grammy-nominated group joins us for their second Mountain Stage appearance. We listen to their performance of So Much Love, which is set to appear on the band's highly anticipated follow-up to their 2021 release, Be the Love You Want. Southern Avenue performing So Much Love on the Mountain Stage. To hear the full performance and more, tune in Saturdays at 6 and Sundays at noon right here on West Virginia Public Broadcasting. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from Shepherd University. Our Appalachia Health News Project is made possible with support from Marshall Health. West Virginia Morning is produced with help from Bill Lynch, Brianna Heaney, Chris Schultz, Curtis Tate, Emily Rice, Eric Douglas, J. Jack Walker, Liz McCormick, and Maria Young. Chris Schultz produced today's show. I'm your host, Teresa Wills. This is West Virginia Morning.